Exodus. Chapter 20, looking at the second commandment, which is recorded in verses 4 through verse 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Most, when they look at the Ten Commandments, do so in a very general sort of way. And there's a lot of problems with that. The main one being that when we look at them in a general sort of way, many don't see where they have broken the commandments. But if you dig into the Ten Commandments, if you dig far enough, doesn't matter which one we're talking about, if you dig far enough, you have to confess guilty. Guilty. We break the Ten Commandments. Maybe not in the most obvious ways, but once again, if we dig into them, the Ten Commandments are very widespread in their scope. This second commandment, most of course would just simply limit it to you don't make a statue, or if you do make a statue, you don't bow down to it, and that's pretty much the extent. We've been looking at what is prohibited in the commandment. Any thinking of lightly of God is prohibited. That's what leads to the making of images. We've seen also last week that it prohibits not only the making of an idol that supposedly resembles God, represents God, but anything that is in the heavens. We're not to try to reproduce. We're not to try to make any likeness. There isn't anything that can possibly be suitable or appropriate as a representation of God. Nothing. Any attempt to do so, the end result is blasphemy. We see that to make or to have or to worship an idol manifest a great ignorance concerning the supremacy of God. There is only one true image of God. Only one true image that is acceptable to God, and that is Jesus Christ. And man rejected him. Now, in man's depravity, he will accept, he will adore, and he will worship false representations of God. But you put Jesus Christ, who is the one and only true representation of God, and man hates him, and they reject him. Again, consider that Christ is the only true image of God. When he walked on this earth, he was the visible image of the invisible God. He, of course, was God. He is God. Colossians chapter 1. Book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 and verse 15. In whom, the whom referring back to his dear son in verse 13, which is Jesus, we have redemption. There is no redemption outside of Christ through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, which speaks of a rank of every creature. Jesus Christ is the visible image of God. No statue, no picture is the visible image of God. Jesus Christ is the visible image of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we see that he is the exact representation of the person of God. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express or exact perfect image of his person. He is the perfect image of the person of Jesus Christ. And he was so as he walked this earth, and again, he was rejected. He is the very nature of God, because he is God. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Who being, talking about the who is going back to Christ Jesus of verse 5. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. These are all familiar verses. For in him, the him going back to Christ, the verse 8, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And as he walked this earth, he was the revelation or the unveiling of God. Notice in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 7 through verse 10. John 14, verse 7. If ye had known me, Jesus is speaking, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You see a statue, you have not seen God. But he that has seen Christ has seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So Jesus Christ, while he walked on this earth, he did so as the perfect representation of God, himself. He is the image of God. And again, the result was he was rejected of men. But again, you can build a statue and say this depicts God. And man will accept the false representation of idols and reject the true representation of God. That's sad, but it is true. So we see what is prohibited here is the making of any so-called likeness to God, of any representation of that which is heavenly. Another thing that is prohibited is worshiping God by carnal sight and adding to the worship of the Lord. God is spirit. As spirit, God is invisible. And he can only be realized by a spiritual principle. And since that principle is dead in fallen man naturally seeks that which is in accord with his sinful nature, that which is in accord with his carnality. So he seeks a visible image whereby to worship God. There is a proneness in the nature of man to corrupt the worship of God. Wherever man's hand touches in the worship of God, he corrupts it. It is natural for man to desire to see what they worship. Exodus, we referred to it last week, but let's turn there, Exodus 32. Exodus 32. And verse 1, we know that Moses is up in the mount. The people are growing impatient. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And you know the rest of the story. But they had a desire to see what they worshipped. They had that desire. Man still has that desire. We see the same thing in Romans 1, verse 23. Man worships four-footed beasts rather than God because he has a desire to see. We do worship by sight. And let me explain what I mean. That is by faith. Faith is seen. Faith is seen. And faith sees what the human eye cannot see. What God said to Moses, notice in Exodus 20, verse 25, is true concerning all worship to God. Exodus 20, verse 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. That is, you do not chip at it. You don't do anything to it. Nothing. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. And what God said there is true of all worship. The more carnal you can make so-called worship, the more acceptable it will be to people. And not only that, they will go away and say, oh, that was so beautiful. There's nothing beautiful about it. Nothing. The second commandment teaches that worship to God is not what men deem instructive or impressive. It is what is taught in the Word of God. So it prohibits worshiping God in carnality. It prohibits worshiping God by sight. That brings us to the requirements. It requires us to worship God. The very command, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, there in Exodus 20 and verse 5. Those very words, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, makes the opposite true, which is, thou shalt bow down to me. And the truth is, if we do not bow down to God in the way that God has deemed, we break the second commandment. God is the object of worship. Thou shalt bow down to me. Someone will say, well, it doesn't say, thou shalt bow down to me. It does say that. It says it when it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. That's just another way of saying, thou shalt bow down to me. So he's teaching us the worship of God. How are we to bow down to God? We are to do so without the aid of images, without the aid of pictures, without the aid of statues and anything else that you can think of. We are to bow down without the aid of carnal things, without the aid of material things. We are not to use visible images to arouse us to pray. We are not to bring these things into the worship of God. The one and only object of worship is God. The immediate argument is, you don't understand. I'm not worshiping the image. I am worshiping God through the image. No, you're not. You don't need to worship through anything but Jesus Christ. He's the only acceptable image. And He's the only one in which our worship is acceptable to God. Every act of worship that you and I render is unacceptable to God. There isn't anything that you and I can do in and of ourselves that is acceptable to God. But we worship through Jesus Christ. He's perfect. He's acceptable to God. And Jesus Christ presents our worship to God, and therefore it is acceptable. But Jesus Christ is not going to present that which is completely contrary to what God has said. Now, Jesus declared in John 4, verse 23, the true worshipers. Now, the very phrase, the true worshipers, implies that there are also false worshipers. Or he would not have used the word true worshipers. So there are false worshipers. The true worshipers shall worship the Father. That is, they have a right object of worship. And it goes on to say, the Father seeketh such, those who worship Him. The Father seeketh such, that is, true worshipers, to worship Him. He is the object. Jesus goes on in John 4 and verse 24, and He said, God, who is the object of worship, is a spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship Him, once again, He is the only object of worship. They that worship Him. Nothing else is deserving of worship, and you and I cannot worship God as He deserves. The one and only motive, the one and only object is God. The one and only motive must be God. We don't worship to make ourselves feel better. That would be a self-motive. We worship, our motive must be God. That must be the motive. In order for something to be true, there has to be the right object, but I believe there also has to be the right motive. The right motive. You and I do not have to try and beautify worship. When we do that, we begin to, again, that we get to the hewn stone. We begin to put our own carvings. And that doesn't beautify it at all. So our motive is God. Any other motive, however good it may seem, is wrong. It is a wrong motive. He goes on to say, the one and only means of worship, John 4, verse 23 and 24, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we have the object of worship. We have the motive for worship. We have the means of worship. Spirit and truth. True worship must be spiritual. Now you have to be spiritual to offer true worship. You cannot offer spiritual, a carnal person cannot offer spiritual worship. You have to be spiritual to offer spiritual worship. So, true worship must be spiritual. Must be in truth. May I say, if it's spiritual, it will be in truth. You can't worship in error. It must be in spirit and truth. So this second commandment, and we taught a lengthy series on worship, and once again, I believe it's sad, but I believe that the culture and society we live in has so affected most people, and most people have so conformed to society and culture that they're not even capable of truly worshiping the Lord. But this second commandment tells us that we are to worship God. So think about spiritual and true worship. There are many requirements. God has to be the object. God has to be the motive. God has to be the means. That is how he has told us to worship. It must proceed from a spiritual nature. So in order to truly worship God, our heart must be cast into the mold of God before it can perform worship required by God. Whatsoever worship proceeds from the flesh cannot be spiritual. The very moment we think, well, I'm really doing something here, you need to ask for forgiveness. The very moment you do something to call attention to yourself, your motive has now become wrong. So, if those that are evil cannot speak good things, certainly they can't worship. They're certainly not going to be able to worship. So in spiritual worship, we must realize the danger at all times of the flesh intruding into our worship. I believe that worship is a very serious time. It's not a time for fun and games. You can have fun and games outside, but worship is not the time for fun and games. It's not the time to tell jokes and get people laughing. Because when you do that, people have now gotten in the wrong spirit to worship. Well, we're just trying to make them feel comfortable. Well, to make the flesh feel comfortable, you're going to have to do that which is fleshly. And now, worship has ceased to be spiritual. This is a very serious situation, a very serious matter. When we come before God to worship, we are to be serious. Again, if tomorrow you want to, being Labor Day, you want to have fun and games, that's fine, as long as it's not sinful. But it has no place in the worship of God. And that is, I guarantee you, is going to turn off almost everybody outside that comes in. That's not what they're looking for. It scares them. Never seen anything like this. It's not what most church people are looking for when it gets right down to it. But God help us to realize God is the object of worship. That very fact shows us how solemn this is, how serious this is. So the second commandment teaches us that we are to worship the Lord and Him only. Let's look to